Ask the Podcast Coach for March 9th, 2024.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It's that music that means it's Saturday morning. It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm Dave Jackson from theschoolofpodcasting.com, and joining me right over there, it's not Jim Collison. He's on special assignment. If you guys haven't figured this out yet, Jim is a spy, and he always has these things, these secret missions. That is Matthew Passy from the, can we call it a new show? You got four episodes in, podcastingtech.com.
It is still fairly new. That's accurate.
Yeah. So how's it going, Matthew?
It is going well. It is going well. It's always a good day when I get to talk to the amazing Dave Jackson. So I cannot complain.
Well, that's the beautiful thing. There are a few people like David Hooper, Daniel J. Lewis, Ray Ortega. Let's see. Matthew Passy is definitely on that list of people that if somebody goes, well, I need some advice, or somebody gave me some advice, if they go, well, Matthew Passy said it, I'm like, okay, that's true then. Not that other people
that
lie.
To be.
Yeah, but I'm just like, they're, you're not selling hope for three easy payments, because there are many people that do that, you know?
I'm not selling anything anymore.
Well, that's it. And we're going to find out what it was like on the outside. Matthew was in podcasting, took a little break, and now he's back. But we're going to find out what it was like on the outside. But before we do that, we have to do the morning coffee pour. And that, of course, is brought to you by Matthew. I don't know why, but I want to put you in a box. There we go.
Fair enough.
Well, there, look at that. Now you're in a big box. Hold on. Well, there you go. We'll just resize you. You know what? Because I'm supposed to be talking about Mark at podcastbranding.com. If you are new to the show, Matthew does great work. If you're watching the video on YouTube, he's done Ask the Podcast Coach, the School of Podcasting, and the Podcast Rodeo Show. Their logos, and he's working on your podcast, or your podcast website as we speak. He's going to do that logo as well. He makes really pretty stuff. And the beautiful thing is he's also a podcaster. So that whole, like, it's kind of like a radio show, but it's not. And he's going to sit down. We actually had the meeting one-on-one, making sure that your artwork kind of matches whatever you're going for. And since there's no show to listen to yet, we really had to have that conversation. So for more information, check him out at podcastbranding.co. Or if you need help with your website, or if you need a whole new website, podcastbranding.co. And of course, also, Jim is not here, but his mug has a big giant Based on a True Story podcast logo on it. And that's because that's from Dan from Based on a True Story podcast.com, where if you've ever seen a TV show or a movie, I guess it's more movies, where it starts off black screen, based on a true story. And you're always wondering, like, was that really true? Well, you can find out by going to basedonatruestorypodcast.com. Dan and Mark, thank you for your support. We deeply appreciate it. And with that, Matthew, you were a successful podcast editor. You had thepodcastconsultant.com, and some other guy owns podcastconsultant.com. And
bastard.
I know. And You got out. Now, I know you have twins, and that will make anybody get out of anything, because that's a handful. So I guess that's the first question. What inspired you to go, yeah, I'm going to take a break?
You know, I was working crazy, crazy hours running that business, doing production, doing editing, doing consulting, managing a team of amazing editors and producers and whatnot. And honestly, I was doing it. I was working really hard. And I just did not have any exit plan whatsoever. And I started to think I was going to die at this desk working this job. Mm. And somebody approached me with the idea of selling this business to them so that they can run it and they can take over it. At first, I was like, wait, are you crazy?
Yeah.
The more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, this is an excellent opportunity to, one, get out on top, right? Get out while the getting's good. And also just a chance to kind of reset, take some time to breathe, and figure out what else I would want to do with my life, whether that's in podcasting or not.
Yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up? Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea. I still don't know.
So how long did it take for you to get the itch to come back?
Well, so as soon as I sold, I mean, I knew there were still things in podcasting that I wanted to do. I had a lot of side projects, a lot of ideas that I wanted to pursue, and just didn't have the time while running the other business. So it wasn't long before I knew I wanted to get back into it. I promised my wife after I was out that I would take a couple of months off to rest, recoup, you know, spend time with the family, spend time with myself, take care of myself. Instead, we got a puppy. So that occupied a lot of that 3 months that I wanted for myself. But no, I mean, I right after, you know, I was still thinking about podcasting and thinking about some of the projects that I wanted to work on. And so podcasting tech is really just going to be a platform that, one, allows me to still justify buying shiny new toys in the podcasting space, talking to the people in the podcasting space who I like talking to and seeing all the new things that are coming out, hardware, software, but also it'll eventually be a platform where we can launch certain things that, you know, I've wanted to introduce for a long time.
Nice. Of course, you can find that at podcastingtech.com. And the other fun thing that we have, we don't get these often. And I think, I don't know if Gary's in the chat room or not. Gary Stockton is everywhere. Every time I go over and watch Jeff C's show, Gary's in the chat room. He's like a professional, like I think podcast watcher slash listener. And he sent in a question about Apple podcast formatting.
Hi, Dave. This is Gary Stockton calling from the Small Business Matters podcast, where we interview experts about different challenges running a successful, resilient small business. My question's about the formatting of Apple podcast descriptions. We take great care to type these up, put timestamps in them, put links to our socials, all of that good stuff. But when we look at it on the mobile device, everything just seems to run into one big, giant, ugly paragraph. And I've seen other podcasts on my player that do it right. I just wonder what I'm doing wrong here. I would greatly appreciate any help you can offer in solving this problem. Love your podcast. Love to listen every week and really appreciate everything that you share with us in terms of podcast wisdom. Thanks so much. If you want to find out more about Small Business Matters, you can find us at experian.com/SMB Matters.
And what's weird is I did not know that Gary was British, and now I picture him in a black turtleneck sweater and maybe a pipe. I don't know. I just, your problem is not one that other, this is a thing. I will put a link in the show notes. There is an article on Pod News. The only thing I can kind of say is I don't know what the deal is. I know everybody's kind of has one giant paragraph. Matthew, do you know of any magic voodoo to make Apple? I know if you write it in Microsoft Word.
It was a Small Business Matters podcast?
Yeah. And in fact, Gary says his turtleneck is on today. Well, there you go. I think this will let me do it because I'm the moderator. Yeah, I put a link to the Pod News thing. James over at Pod News has an article that basically points out 19 different apps and 19 different ways your description can show up. I have found that if you write it, go ahead.
Well, so one thing, so I just pulled up the Small Business Matters show on Pod News. This is what I do to kind of learn more about shows when I used to do audits.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the show is hosted on SoundCloud.
Yeah, it's
and it's, if I'm wrong about that, correct me.
Yeah, I am wrong. It's Small Business Matters.
Just Small Business Matters.
Yeah, and then he has in parentheses Experian.
Okay, so yeah, this is the same show. So from what I can tell, it looks like the show is hosted on SoundCloud. What I will tell you, and this is not, I do not work for any hosting company or whatnot. The SoundCloud hosting does not do any formatting whatsoever. So most of the other podcast players out there, they will allow you to do like a WYSIWYG editor. And so you can, you know, put in spacing, bullet points, paragraphs, right? All that good jazz. I don't think SoundCloud really allows that. If they do, it just doesn't get formatted correctly in the RSS feed. If I am wrong and I'm not, it's the wrong player, then sorry.
Yeah, he's saying.
It looks like they're Libsyn.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Small Business Matters. This is just for those, if you're in the podcasting space, this is how I cheat. I go over to CastFeed Validator. I go find your RSS feed, and then I typed in Small Business. I need an S on that. And this is where you'll also find, so you can see there are two, and I'm not sure, here we'll find out. I'll open these. So it gives you your link to Apple, So this one, okay, we know he's not Tim. So this one. Now, if this is it, then I can come down here, and if I put my mouse over that, that's a Podomatic show. This is also where you can
go. Yeah, no, he's a Libsyn customer.
Okay. So
I'm looking at it now. Actually, when I pulled it up on, it looked fine, right? I saw a paragraph. I saw highlights broken out. I saw links that are working correctly. I'm not looking at it on my mobile device. I can't right now because I'm using that as my camera. But from what I could tell, you're doing everything okay, unless it's a recent change.
Yeah. So what's tricky about this is, again, I have found that. So Gary, if this is you, the other thing you might want to do is put your name in the author field. Cause right now it says business, which I get Apple doesn't like it when you keyword stuff the author field, if that's you, which is fun because there's like a 30-second delay on Ecamm. So we'll find out eventually. But I have found if you type your show notes in something else that's not, in this case, Libsyn, and paste it into Libsyn, okay, Gary says that's us. So yeah, I would put your name in there. So because sometimes, as we've seen, when you have, you know, other shows with the similar name, if I'm looking for Gary Stockton, I might be able to go into Apple Podcasts and just type in Gary Stockton. I know the Podcast Rodeo Show, because it's a horribly named show, rarely comes up in search. You have to search for Dave Jackson, and then it'll show you all the Dave Jackson shows, one of which is Podcast Rodeo Show, which is why I always say, never say, find me wherever you find podcasts, because search in many apps is horrible. So I would add your name there. And when I look at least online, you just have one paragraph. Now, my guess is that you're like, yeah, maybe that line where we talk about credit, marketing, innovation, sales, management, more, maybe you wanted that on a separate line. I honestly don't know what the deal is with Apple, that it's not or whatever. I just know it is what it is. And I have seen people that do have spaces, and I don't know, because all you can do is type it directly in Libsyn the way you want it and hit, you know, save. And in theory, that's all you can do. I do know Apple hates it when you put, please find me at, and then your website, because A, those links aren't clickable, and B, Apple's so excited that you got them to finally come to their app, and the first thing you're doing is go someplace else. So if you ever want to get featured in Apple, that's not going to work.
So I find that you can have clickable links in Apple. They don't show up typically on the, like, store page when you're looking online, right? If you're in the app, if you're in the show notes, they should work correctly. But looking at some of these, you know, some of them look okay, some of them don't. One thing I found, especially with Libsyn, was when I was entering show notes, I would do double paragraph space. So I would hit enter twice.
Oh.
And that would create a little bit more of a gap. Sometimes one, depending on which editor you're using, wouldn't create enough. But I mean, from what I could tell, some of these look great, and some of them, it also seems like the show notes themselves changed the format a little bit. So, yeah, but like the most recent one that I'm looking at, the busting myths about advertising, when I click on that one, I see a paragraph, I see highlights, I see timestamps. You know, on this particular URL, which again is the preview page from, you know, Apple's website, nothing is clickable, but I'm sure if I went into the actual podcasting app, it would be just fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, which is interesting.
Open my podcast.
Yeah, I opened it up on my phone. I have not been on Apple Podcasts in a while, and when I look at this, yeah, it's one giant paragraph. So I would try that. Maybe the double entry. Maybe there's something somewhere that is removing paragraph marks. So if you put in two, it skips one or something like that. That might be something to try.
Yeah, it's interesting because now I'm seeing it within the podcast app on my desktop, and it has no formatting. So I'm totally flummoxed here.
Yeah, he says it's when he works when he's on a mobile device, everything is one big text. And we're assuming you're talking about the show description or the episode description. Episode description is what he's talking about here. Is you can see where it's just one big giant text. So I would maybe try the Matthew trick. That's its new name now, of double paragraph spaces. And the other thing, again, if you did that in Microsoft Word, that's the biggest offender, or Google Docs. What happens is when you copy and paste it, behind the scenes, even though you don't see it, you can bring over some extra HTML chocolatey goodness that messes with your format. So
something interesting that I just realized was, so I'm looking at the episode now on the podcast app here on my desktop. And like you said, it's just one big blurb. But when I hit the info, it should give you like the actual episode notes. It's coming up as blank. And so I wonder if you are putting your, like, everything into the notes field, into like the description field and not the full summary field that has like all the formatting. And let me just bring this over, because again, when I look at it over here, right, same episode, busting myths, I'm going to click right here. It looks fine.
Yeah. It's
so it's definitely a mystery to me, but I know that there's more than one field now where you can add information for your podcast within the different platforms. So maybe try putting just like the short summary in the first field and then getting more detailed notes with the timestamps and everything else in the second field.
Yeah, so it is tricky. And the fun thing is you can get it just the way you want it and then go into Spotify, because Spotify kind of just thumbs their nose at all kind of things that aren't Spotify, and it will look completely different, which isn't frustrating at all, or Overcast or things like that. And then Gary said, I just noticed that of all the author fields are all mostly blanks. Yikes. Yeah, I will spend some time in Libsyn and Apple analyzing it closely. Yeah, if you, like today, when I do this episode, it'll say author, and it'll say Dave Jackson, comma, Matthew Passy. Because, you know, if somebody goes looking for Matthew Passy, I want them to find the show. So if you have a cool, you know, guest on, always put their name in the author field. Always put your name in the author field, both in the episode and in the show. Just, it's one of the few things that Apple searches. It searches the title of the show, the title of the episode, and the author field. And that's why for a while people were going, like, I had Dave Jackson, podcast consultant, comma, podcast coach, comma, something, something, something. And people started getting kicked out because it was just like, you know, Zig Ziglar, Pat Flynn, like they were just putting people's names in the author field just to trick people. And Apple wasn't too crazy about that. So keep
Matthew
that.
Passy, potential interviews with Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, right. Bill Gates, Mickey Mouse, things like that. Yeah.
I did hear James Cridlin say that some apps, not so much Apple, but some apps do search the description of the show. And so I was like,
Yes.
So that's where people, I always love that when it's like, you know, join us every week where Dave and Matthew talk about such and such and other things such as, and then it's just a giant paragraph of keywords, you know, SEO, website, traffic, more sales, blah. And it's like, blah, and I'm like, okay, do you not know that, you know, most apps don't search the description field, but some of them do apparently. And I was like, oh, well, all that keyword stuffing may not be to waste. So
I know sometimes now the search will actually go through the description in certain spots, not all of them. Your description still matters. And I mean, I wonder if it's going to make a difference with all the transcripts, if that's going to pop into play. But I've had a few conversations lately on the show, and one of the things that's come up more than once is people saying they wish it was universal that podcast apps and the podcast search and the different directories would have keywords or just like a more, you know, a more defined search that, you know, we're more accustomed to in, say, social media, Google, things like that. It's just a very basic search that drives people crazy.
Yeah, it's search in, like I said earlier, search in the apps. That's why I always say it really is, it makes so much sense to put those links on your website. So I love the fact, like, Matthew, I think you're using PodPage for podcastingtech.com.
And is.
So if you go to podcastingtech.com/follow, you've got a built-in page with all the apps that Matthew's put the links to. And so by doing that, A, you just heard me say his website again, podcastingtech.com, and B, you made it easy for your audience to figure out what the app they want to listen to. And I think it even puts, for the nerds, there's even an RSS feed. So, you know, that's my answer to everything. Don't say, find me. Just A, reinforce your brand. And B, if somebody likes the show and then they want to share it with a friend, they share it on social. Hey, I just found this podcast. It's awesome. Here's the link. You can follow the show. Okay, that's another link back to your website. That can boost your SEO. And so I'm like, there's really not a downside. A, go on Apple and try to find me, or B, just go to my website. Here's the link and click on, you know, subscribe or follow, depending on how much of an OG you are.
Well, and I think it was you, one of the people, you said this really early on, but it's like, hey, go to Apple and find my show. Well, what if I'm talking to you on an Android? Well, you've just basically told that person, screw you. I don't want you to listen to my show anyway.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I absolutely loved about PodPage was the fact that by default, it would put the play, the subscribe links on the main page and on each episode page of your show, so that if somebody did find an episode, they have the ability to immediately hit play and listen to it, subscribe to it, and then, you know, you can add your other call to actions, right? Your social media, your email list, whatever else you're putting in the show notes. But like, those are the two most important things you can ask somebody to do when they come to your website is listen to my show and subscribe to one of the platform of your choosing.
Yeah. So here's what Matthew's talking about. If you go to his website, Podcasting Tech, he's doing this on YouTube as well. So he's got the video there, and then there are your links to follow and subscribe. Just doesn't get much easier than that. And also, it is the back in the day, kids, there were these things called malls. And there was always a guy in the food court handing out pieces of chicken, hoping you would go buy the sandwich. So that's why I always love having a player right there on the episode where you don't have to, you know, go search for it, because you can click play. And then he's like, hey, today we're talking with the guy from TrailerGram. And you're like, what's a TrailerGram? So you click play, you listen to it. You're like, wait a minute, I want to listen to this on my phone. You click on the button and you're like, oh, I use Spotify or whatever. And off to the races you are. You just now have a new subscriber. So it's fun. Speaking of that, can we switch gears? You interviewed the guy from TrailerGram, and he seemed like a nice man. The thing that always makes me worried about all these services is we send them to a website with their player. And I did ask them, I go, is that a verified download or a verified listen? Because I had a person that gave me a demo, not TrailerGram for the record. This, I'm not talking about TrailerGram. This was another service. And he basically kind of politely admitted that they download all the episodes behind the scenes. So when you go to that website, you get a download before anybody hit play. And do you know if TrailerGram is doing something similar or?
So the way I understood it based on the conversation is, so when you, for those who don't know, TrailerGram is this app where you upload a trailer for your show, you upload your show artwork and a description. And what they do is they embed your show into various articles across the web. One of the examples was an article from like People magazine or Time magazine, right? Like places where people are going to read other stuff. And if the keywords match the genre, the click in the search, it's kind of like display ads, but for audio players, which is not really a thing in a lot of places. So that initial trailer that you put in there, you are uploading to their server, and that play is drawing from their servers. Now they are tracking those plays for you, and you know they're charging you based on how many impressions and how many plays you're going to get and things like that. However, once you're there, there is the ability to follow the show, to subscribe to the show, and those plays, the subsequent plays from there, are pinging your hosting site. So they should be verified listens or at least engagements. My one concern that I have, and I admittedly, I don't think I pushed enough on this, or maybe I didn't think of it at the time, was I wish there was more of an option to direct people to my show, right? Like instead of just saying, oh, I'm subscribed to it now through this TrailerGram service, you know, can I throw my Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever links up there as well and say, thank you, you've gotten me attention, now get people to where I want them to subscribe to and get the show normally. So that would say like my one hiccup with it, but no, they are, your initial trailer is a download from them. And I asked them about that and they said it's for technical reasons, it's the only way it would work. But then subsequent plays do go back to your hosting stats.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, I heard where they send push notifications and stuff like that. So what I'm looking into is, I'm like, that's an interesting idea. If I could, send people a text that says, hey, a new episode is out, and see if there's anything that'll tie in with an RSS feed. Cause there are a ton of, text kind of tools out there. And I just need to see if there's, because that could be something you just set up yourself. Like, hey, if you want a push notification when a new episode comes out, you know, go to such and such and enter your phone number. And you could, it's kind of like building an email list, except you're building a text list. And I know there are tools that do that. So something to think about. We do have a question here from Daily Sports History. I recently updated my cover art. It's another Apple question. Yeah, Apple loves things to look pretty. And it has updated my host and it updated everywhere but Apple Podcasts. Is there a trick to update Apple Podcast cover art? Yeah, there are a couple. One, make sure your podcast artwork meets their specs. So that means it has to be 1400 by 1400, all the way up to 3000 by 3000. And according to James Gridlin, it doesn't have to be under 500 kilobytes anymore. I still recommend you do that. Yeah, I'm like, let's keep it under 500K. And then make sure it's not like 1400 by 1401. Like it has to be perfectly square. And then make sure it's a new file name. So if it was called podcastcoverart.jpg, and then the new one is called podcastcoverart.jpg, yeah, name it podcastcoverart2.jpg, and that will work. But most of the time, it's somebody, you hired some person from Fiverr to make the artwork because they make podcast artwork, and then they gave you one that's 1250 by 1250. Well, that's too small to you know, Apple doesn't recognize it. It's too small. Do you know of any other fun-filled tricks to do with artwork?
Yeah. So one, if you do have a size issue, I always go to Canva. Canva has pre-made templates for podcast artwork. And so if you pop it into there, you'll definitely get the correct, you know, 1400 by 1400. And then I download a JPEG medium. So like 80% of that usually makes sure it gets under that 500 kilobytes. Two other things I found is one, go to your Podcast Connect account, refresh your feed. Sometimes that will kind of push it along. Some people want it to be changed right away and, you know, it might take a day or two. Other thing I have found, and supposedly this has changed, but, you know, not everybody updates their operating system and whatnot. If you subscribe to the show previously, when it was the old artwork, and you haven't downloaded a new episode or you haven't really engaged in your own show there, it might not update. It might, it's like almost like a caching issue. And so try unfollowing your show, removing it, and then refollowing it, and you'll probably see the new artwork.
Yeah, that is, I've seen that happen before where just for whatever reason, and you can look at somebody's feed and everything's perfect and on their phone, it's not. And then it's the old, it's kind of like a reboot. Go into Apple, unsubscribe, delete the show, and then go back, search for it, find it, put it back, and it's all, you know, roses. So it's always fun.
Yeah, that used to drive clients crazy, especially artwork, but also if they had a mistake in, say, like a title or a description, they wanted that changed right away. And it's like, I just updated, it hasn't changed. It's like, have you re-downloaded the show? No, it should update. It's like, no, you downloaded the file. Like, it's not just automatically. You have to delete that file and re-download it to get the new version of it.
Yeah, so I always tell people, congratulations. You have the collector's edition that has the 10 seconds of silence because track 3 was muted. That's always fun. Another
NFT that thing, son.
That's it. Here's a fun one. I have another podcast set up by someone else. Well, right there, that is, yeah, don't do that. I tried to look it up at Cast Validation and it doesn't show up at all. I know she set it up on Podbean and it's not, Podbean isn't bad. It's just not my favorite and it's not listed on Apple yet. So number one, never, ever, ever. And by this, I mean ever. Matthew, when you were, watch Matthew go, I did this all the time. When you had people on Apple, did you set them up or did you walk them through setting it up themselves?
I set up about 85% of the shows that we had on Apple, which at this point is a detriment because now they're all under my Apple account and the work it would take to get them all off there and clean it out is just, it's too much. But I got a little bit smarter. I started telling people how to do it themselves.
Yeah, I have a few from like way back in the day that are still in it because I used to do the same thing because there was no podcastconnect.apple.com back then. So it didn't matter who submitted it. You just needed it to be in. But if you let someone else submit your show for you, and what's interesting in Libsyn, I've begged them to change this. When you go into where it says your feed in Apple, it says have Libsyn submit it for you. And I'm like, can we make that default be, I'll do it myself because it says, have Libsyn do it for you. And then it gives you 7 reasons why you shouldn't let Libsyn do it for you. And nobody makes it to line number two that says, yeah, you're going to lose all the stats, so don't let somebody else do it for you. Because there are, in fact, I'll show you here in just a second, you can see how far people listened, which is, to me, that's my number one stat now.
That is a great piece of information.
There were so many, I'm going to say at least four things in Reddit. I always go over to the podcasting Reddit to see what people are talking about. And there were four. One was like $350,000. One was $5,500. It was all like, if you had this much money, what would you do with it to grow your podcast? And I said to all of them, A, hire someone to listen to your show that's going to tell you the truth, because nobody does that. You know, mom said it was great. And I said, I know I say this all the time, but I say it all the time because nobody does it. And it was all, and I said, it doesn't, you could have $1 million and still promote it. And if your show isn't resonating with the audience, you're just letting the world know faster that your show needs, you know, to go back in the oven for a little bit. So yeah. So if you have had somebody set up your stuff, it's not the end of the world. You can go, whatever your Apple ID is, like my Apple ID is still on a Hotmail account, because again, been doing this a while. And so you would email Apple, you just go out to Podcast Connect. I think there's a contact button at the bottom and say, this is my show. Yeah. And you give them your RSS feed, and you can get that from your host. This is my RSS feed. Then get the link to your show in Apple. This is where my show is in Apple. I want to move this to my Apple ID. Now, at that point, they're going to give you some gibberish code, like a bunch of numbers or whatever. And they're going to like, hey, put this in your copyright field. Now, what this does, the only person that could do that is the person that owns the show. So you would log into the media host. And again, if your editor has control over that, guess what? You're working for the editor. That's not your show. And if for some reason, you know, now I get it why the editor did it, because if you don't pay your bill, guess what? I'm going to shut it down. But you need to find an editor that you can trust and vice versa, and always pay your bill. That would be helpful. But go ahead. You want to, I can tell you.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying here. And yeah, the support thing is, it takes a little bit of time, but it's worth it. Apple changed it a couple of years ago where you can actually add people
to
the show, which I thought was great, right? I could say, oh, look, it's in my account, but here you've got access, right? You can look at your stats. That's all well and good. The problem I find now is that when I go to submit a new show, it says, do you want to include, you know, all these other people on your show? And it lists every single person I've ever given access to any show on my account. And now I have to sit there and X out every person because it's not a show for everyone. It's like show A's producer does not need access to shows B through Z. And right. I find that little piece of UX super annoying.
There you go. See, I totally forgot about that. This is why you bring a Matthew Passy on to go, oh yeah. So here's the thing that happened straight up around 2020. You might remember this little thing called COVID. And we had a very popular editor just straight up die. And yeah. And so when your show is under his credit card and it's under his Apple ID, things get really messy because you're like, oh, okay, sure. I'll be happy to give you your login. Just verify the last four digits of the credit card. And they're like, it's not my credit card. And they're like, hey, guess what? It's not your podcast. So that required getting on the phone with people in some cases, because they're like, yeah, I used Earl or Steve or whatever his name was, you know, and he died. And we're like, yeah, oh, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, which kind of made it easy because we could go in and see all of the shows under his Libsyn account. And then we're like, hey, you probably heard that, you know, Bjergen, you know, is gone on to that big editing bay in the sky. That's why I always try. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was why we never, ever controlled people's hosting account. They set up their hosting account and then either gave us their credentials or added us, depending on the platform. It was great when Libsyn had that feature where you could add editors. So, right, somebody would pay for their account. If they forgot to pay the bill, like, it's not on me. You're like, hey, where did my show go? Like, I don't know. Oh, my credit card expired. All right, well, not my fault. So, yeah, it definitely, it's one thing to put it under your Apple Podcast Connect account. It's another thing to pay for their hosting. That I do not recommend.
Yeah, DR says, so if I produce someone's show, I shouldn't go to my client's Apple Podcast Connect account. No, you should. Now, you know, they have to share their login name and password, And they may not be hip to that because you could go in and buy all sorts of Apple movies and things. But
password is great for this stuff.
Exactly. One password. I moved from LastPass because, you know, they kept getting hacked. Not really something you want in that. And what I love is when I go to a site, because they imported all my stuff from LastPass. And when I go to a site that still has the password from LastPass, they're like, hey, like, it's up to you. But if I was you, I would change the password on this one because it's probably been hacked. And so it's like, oh, so I love it. Yeah, just a little bit. So supportthisshow.com/1password will get you to my affiliate link. What I wanted to, since we're talking so much about Apple, this is Apple Podcast Connect. And you can see here's one of the shows from the OG days. But let's just for giggles, this will be fun. I'll go into your podcast consultant. So it shows your feed. It shows it's published. The one thing I want to point out here is, since we're talking about subscriptions, you need to do this. If you go to availability, you'll see where, hey, please put it in all the countries, make this available for distribution, and then transcripts. So option A, only display the Apple transcripts, which the good news is, if I don't do anything, I have transcripts in Apple. I love that they did an or statement here, or I could do this. Display transcripts I provide. So in Libsyn now, there is a place on the right-hand side where you can upload an SRT or a VTT. It'll display that one. But what if you're like, I don't know, even know how to make an SRT file? Then if you don't put something there, it'll use Apple. So it's either or, and then you have to click on the save button. And since we got the video up, if I go up to analytics, I can pick a show. And I'm going to cheat and pick this one because my stats will look great because they're all 9 minutes long. Here you can see 88% of the people are following me. And if I go into episodes, this is the stat I want, 97, 88, 90. And these should be really high because all these shows are like 4 minutes long. So if
click,
I can't
click on an individual episode that doesn't go up to 100%.
121, you got to love that. Some of these I laid an egg when it came to, come on, be my friend.
Because there's that amazing visual that shows the drop-off.
Oh, yeah. Well, the beautiful thing I love about this, so here's one, 76% on my last one. Podcast saturation is your play. I was basically adding, so here, first of all, you're always going to get a big drop-off at the beginning because that's people who have heard your intro. This one, not so much as other ones. Let me go back, because you can always see, I'll just pick a random one. This one had a 68%. That's not great. But probably maybe here, there's a little bit of a dip. And what I love about Apple is I can click on this. Now, you're not going to be able to hear this.
Nations.com is...
No, maybe this one. Do you? Okay.
But the...
Usually... Oh, this is the Jeff interview. Yeah. Usually I can see where my... This one. See right here in the middle? If I click on that, I would almost guarantee you that is...
An audience ends up being is trying to build a...
Maybe not. But you can see these little dips. And that's Apple, of course, shocking, very pretty. But that's one of the bonuses. And you can go in and see, and it's weird because sometimes you'll see a show that, you know, got a 68% consumption rate. And you're like, oh, well, that's because it was a little longer. And then you'll see another one that was even longer than that one that got like an 87%. So it's there is no, at least that I've seen, a super like, oh, this equals too long. This equals whatever. A lot of it's just the content. The episode I'm doing Monday is all about what podcasters might want to think about when it comes to their taxes, because it's March, we got taxes coming up in April, and that's great. Ooh. Yeah, but that's probably not going to apply to people in, you know, Germany or Australia or things like that. It might be, but I'm not sure. So I could see where...
Or in May.
Yeah, or in May. Yeah, and so... That's one of those where at the beginning of the show, because I never want to waste my audience's time, I'm going to say today we're going to be talking about taxes, and I'm in America. The accountant that's coming up, is America. So if, you know, I'm also going to talk about running your show as a business, and this podcast has chapters. So if you'd like to skip to the how do I run my podcast as a business kind of thing, skip to that chapter. But, you know, the American taxes thing, speaking of that, there's the man, the only. Business taxes are due on March 15th, he says. Oh, that's spooky.
Well, so, right, you your quarterly taxes.
Yeah.
So if you are a business, you should be paying every 3 months instead of just the whole yearly thing. Randy Black in the comments said, Podcast Connect requires 2FA to log in. That is true. That is super annoying. You should be like on the phone with, or, you know, in contact with the person if you're going to log into their account while you're doing it. However, if that is too onerous, then go ahead, submit it under your account, and then add that person as manager or something like that. Right. And you can do that. There's a way to do it where it's not just you add their show to your account, but they can like add you as a manager of their account. So when I go to Podcast Connect, sometimes now I have like several different Podcast Connect accounts I can get into. And so if you could do it that way, that's a little bit better, almost like a YouTube channel manager or, you know, something like that. This way they have the full control. You're just going in there and helping them out as opposed to the other way around.
Awesome. Craig has, but he was asking about, what are your thoughts on programmatic ads for a mid-roll? And this is public knowledge. If you go to advertisecast.com, somewhere on that site, there's a calculator. So I said I had 1,000 downloads and I wanted one ad. So that way you could get the, you know, CPM, cost per 1,000 downloads price. And the highest one I saw was $4 for a programmatic ad, which is 0.004 cents per download. Now, there are those that say, well, that's better than a poke in the eye. And it is. And there are other people that are like, wait, that means I'm going to make $1.27 per episode. If I times that by four, you know, you might have just paid for your hosting, depending on what it is. It's really up to you. I would ask them about what kind of filters they have for, like, I don't want, like, you know, if it's Pastor Bob's, you know, Sunday morning Bible time, I may not want Jack Daniels commercials. I know Spotify had the lovely thing where they were putting some sort of whiskey ads on podcasts about sobriety, which, you know, thanks for triggering me. That's always fun. What are your thoughts on programmatic ads, Matthew? Do you like them, hate them, on a scale from 1 to 10? Like, what's your thoughts?
I think they have a place for certain podcasts. I agree with you that if you're doing a show with, 1,000 downloads, 2,000 downloads, if you have a very specific niche audience, if you're doing this maybe for your business, it might not be, the trade-off might not be worth it, right? Getting $5 per episode is not necessarily going to make up for the, you know, number of listeners who are going to say, why are there ads on your show? Which, even if you're super successful, right? I'm sure Joe Rogan gets, why are there so many ads? But, you know, but I don't think it's worth it. If you do have a very large show and you can make serious income doing it and you do have the control and the say, then sure, there's a time and a place for programmatic ads to fill empty inventory. Like, I listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend a lot recently, and there are certainly episodes where he does all the ads.
Yes.
And they're fantastic. And then there are definitely episodes where you could tell they're just dropping in ads because it's a different voiceover, right? It's not him doing the ad. And I'm not saying it's not a turnoff, but I feel less bad if I'm going to skip an ad that's a programmatic drop in for just some random service versus one where he is doing the content and often the ad is just as funny as the show itself. So I would say you have to be really careful about doing programmatic, who you trust, how much are you getting in return for it. You know, if it's going to pay for, you know, three people to work on your team and produce your show, yeah, go ahead and do it. You know, to your point, you were talking about how much do you get per person when it comes to ads? And so $25 CPM, 1,000 listeners, right? It comes out to like 2.5 cents, or my math is always wrong, but it's either like 2.5 cents or two, you know, 0.0025 of a cent. So that's not really a great per person return. Whereas if you were doing some sort of membership, Patreon, you know, listener supported, you could be charging as much as $5, $10, $20, $50 a month, which means now for each person you are getting, let's say you're doing $10 a month, you're getting $250 per person. That is a much, much better right. cost per unit on your side than the advertising. So if advertising is just to say you have ads, or just to say, oh, I can make something, you know, I would consider that that real return and what the trade-offs are going to be, whereas direct monetization or even just, you know, maintaining the integrity of your brand could be way more valuable to you.
Yeah. The you ready to do some, I'm going to break the rules. You ready? I always say never do math in a live podcast because you will eventually get the wrong answer. But here's the fun one. I had somebody, we're going to talk a little podcasting 2.0 right now. I had somebody send me a boost. Now, if you're not familiar with Van Halen, they had an album. It was called 5150, which is the police call for, I believe, a crazy person. And I say crazy with love and respect. So my apologies if you're crazy. So I went to this website, Kraken, K-R-A-K-E-N, and I converted 5150 from, so 5,150 Satoshis is $3.52. So if we take $3.52, by the way, this is a future episode of the School of Podcasting, so I apologize for the rerun in advance. If we divide that by the highest number I found, which was 0.004, then that is 880 downloads. So which one is easier to get? Somebody to send you a Van Halen boost of 5150 or to get 880 downloads? Makes you think. I don't know. But so I'm not against, I've noticed this, and look, you be you, right? But I've noticed the shows that only use ads for income. They're not selling courses. They don't have a book. Don't have crowdfunding, zero. It's just ads, ads, and ads. And it's going back up, which is good. But for a while, ads were coming down. And that's when I heard two shows that I know of that one used to start off with like the 15-second thing, like, hey, today's show is brought to you by Matthew Passy at podcastingtech.com. Find out more at podcastingtech.com. And then they'd start the show.
Simple.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm noticing not one, but two programmatic ads at the beginning of that, and both of them have either added another episode, because if the only thing you have is number of downloads, that affects your income, then the only way to get more income is to get more downloads. And so what do? You add a new fresh episode, and sometimes that episode is not as good as the other ones because, well, the last time I checked, only 24 hours in a day. And I was like, So I always sound like I'm very anti-ad. I'm just, you know, I'm a nerd that likes math. And I'm like, you know, And I just know, you know, if somebody signs up, if you're a coach and you get a consulting call or whatever, that's the way to if you want to make sustainable, like more than, you know, happy meal money, sell your own stuff. I don't know. So.
By the way, in the comments here on YouTube, there's a discussion about programmatic versus dynamic ads, and Daniel J. Lewis is jumping in and doing a nice job, but for those who may not be paying attention. So programmatic ads is where, as Daniel says, somebody is deciding what ads to put in your dynamic ad slots.
Yes.
Dynamic ad insertion is where you put a marker of sorts, a digital marker, a digital, you know, signal that says, when someone downloads this episode, pair it up with a piece of content. And dynamic content insertion, I'm going to say content instead of just ads because you can use this for lots of things, intros, outros, news segments, whatever. Dynamic content insertion is phenomenal. It means that when you put out an episode, say today we're doing an episode and maybe you have an ad for Mother's Day sale. Well, somebody listens to this episode in 6 months from now and they get a Mother's Day ad. It's like, well, that's kind of stupid. But with dynamic ad insertion, somebody who downloads this episode in, say, November could get an ad that instead says, Thanksgiving is coming up. Get ready for the holidays. So dynamic content insertion is really, really powerful stuff. It doesn't have to just be for ads, or it could be for your own ads or other promotional material or webinars, events, whatever. But yeah, programmatic is where somebody else is saying, we're just going to deal out ads into your show and, you know, it's whoever is paying for it. So you know, those two things are a little bit different. Dynamic, great, programmatic, you know, depends on where you're at.
Yeah. A quick example of this. This is my show, The School of Podcasting in Libsyn. So you can see the top four. I have a 60-second SOP spot. That's me promoting me. Then I have a 15-second spot. That's one of those quick shout-outs. Then there's where will I be in question of the month. And if I go into an episode, you will see where I can go in. And I basically set, just as Matthew was talking about, I can set where the slots go. And then I just pick which slot is which. Yeah, so here's where those slots are. So we saw slot one, slot A. Now this is on our enterprise solution, which unfortunately is typically out of the range of the typical person that's looking to pay $20 a month for some sort of dynamic content. That's why I try to call it dynamic content, because it doesn't always have to be ads. Like if you listen to a show from October, you're going to hear the question of the month for March, because it doesn't do any good to listen to the question of the month from October of 2023, because, well, that's over. So I use that for that. I have, where will I be? So if you hear now, you'll see I'm going to be in Los Angeles and, you know, at Podcast Movement and things like that. So it doesn't always have to be ads. And again, if you're a coach, if you're a church, if you're somebody promoting something that you do, dynamic content is great. For me, if you're a solo podcaster and you're on a budget, Captivate has a really cool, they call it AMI. It stands for automated something, but it's basically their dynamic
insertion content engine.
Yes. Magical, maybe that's the M, but marketing, but
automated marks insertion engine.
There we go. And so that's now they have a different business model. So if you get super popular over there, your bill goes up. But on the other hand, if you get super popular, you should be able to monetize that and pay for the added expense. So
I'm glad you said it. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to. I don't want to bring up the competitor on your show.
Well, here's my thought on that. Is because people are like, oh, you're just a Libsyn shill, and that's going to be really obvious soon, because I'm going to reach out to him. Oh, dude, the guy from Buzzsprout, he's really tall. He has red hair and a mustache. Mm-hmm.
Travis?
Oh. No, the other one. Mm. No, somebody will get me in the chat room. Anyway, they just came out with an app where you can, it's basically for those who just can't check their stats enough.
To manage it on their app.
Yeah. To manage on their app. And they're like, hey, do you want to have the guy's name that I can't remember? It's not Travis.
No, Travis is actually with Trailergram now, I found out.
Really? Interesting. But yeah, I thought it would come to me. And the minute I hit stop, of course. But so I'm going to have them on to talk about it. And mainly because I want to pick his brain. Albin, thank you, Daniel. I was like, and it's always one of those, that's the thing. I have to catch myself, because I almost always call him Alvin. And it's not Alvin. That's a chipmunk. This is Albin, and he's the marketing guy over at Buzzsprout. And I thought about that. I'm like, oh, people are going to think it's weird that the guy that works at Libsyn is having Buzzsprout. I'm like, you know what? He's a marketing guy. He's been around in podcasting. And if anybody ever accuses me of being just a Libsyn shill, I'm always like this. I'll give you an example. I try not to tell people what to think. I give them the facts and let them decide. And I have a member of the School of Podcasting right now is very upset with me, because he does a show, and I'm just going to call it, he doesn't care. Take Control of Your Liberty. TakeControlOfYourLiberty.com. It's so far right that it's almost left. I mean, we're not talking politics. I'm just talking about, I don't want to get into that whole discussion. Like, oh, you shouldn't do, no. I'm just talking, again, just the facts. So he's very pro-Trump, all right? He said, where should I advertise my show? So I gave him the facts. Here's Spotify. Here's Overcast. Here's this and this and that. I said, I've heard good things about Overcast. So he submitted his little banner in Overcast, and apparently it was rejected. And I'm assuming it was, and so is he, that maybe it was rejected because maybe the owner, Marco, of Overcast doesn't want to have that on his app. And he said, you shouldn't be promoting Overcast anymore in the future. And I was like, well, no, I'll do what I just did. I'm like, here's Overcast. I've had people have success with that. Please note that if you're a super political show, you may not be accepted as an ad on there. And
and that might not be right show. That might just be any political show.
Right. Well, I think there's a politics category, but you know, and I'm like, but dude, you know, it's one of those things. So he's kind of mad. 'Cause I said, I try not to hold a grudge against anybody. I try to get along with everybody. I mean, I'm friends with Buzzsprout. I'm friends with Blueberry. I'm, you know, friends with Podbean. You know, we're all, you know, Matthew technically is for a while was competitor, as is Daniel J. Lewis, as is David Hooper. These are some of my best friends. And I just, you know, and he was like, well, you shouldn't bring this up. And here's the problem. So let's say I never mention Captivate has a dynamic tool. All right. So I have a client of mine, I sign them up at Libsyn, and they're paying for the enterprise solution, which is more than, you know, your typical hosting. And then he finds out about Captivate and how it's, you know, 1/5 of the price. Well, now who looks stupid? I thought you were a guru. I thought you were a consultant. Shouldn't you know about this? So then I lose my integrity. And I'm like, so I will do what I always do. Hey, here are the facts. Here's Spotify. Here's Buzzsprout. Here's Radio Public. Here are all these places where you can advertise your show. By the way, I did have one person that had a super far right show and was rejected on Captivate or on Overcast. And I go, that's the best I can do. And he's upset that I'm still going to put them out as an option. And it's just one of those, you know, black or white, or, you know, yes, I'm Switzerland when it comes to podcasting. I try to be friends with everyone, and I just present the facts and let you decide. So if you're like, well, that's not fair, he's censoring people, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, it's an app that has, you know, around 4% of the market. It's not like it's NBC or CBS, and, you know, let's not go crazy. But so that's my whole point on everything.
I mean, I know I'm speaking to the choir because people who are listening to the show obviously know you, but yes, Dave Jackson is one of the nicest, fairest people I know. And the only reason I wasn't going to bring up Captivate was just simply out of respect. But yes, Dave Jackson recognizes people who are doing well, even if they're competitors, deserve to be treated well. We do not have to be enemies.
And sometimes I point out other people, maybe just a little bit, to spur people I work for to like, hey, maybe we should do that, kids. You know, here's my favorite question. Ralph has it from Ask Ralph Podcast. How much is Libsyn Enterprise and what do you get for that platform? Will you get the dynamic ads? You can add multiple people with multiple access points. So if you want somebody like an advertiser, you could give them access to just the stats. And as for the pricing, you have to email rob@libsyn.com. Now, for the record, can you do that on Captivate? And the answer is, yeah, you can. And so the only thing I think, and Matthew, maybe you can, I don't dig that deep into Captivate stuff. I just have it promote my stuff. I don't know that they do geographic targeting, and Libsyn does. Libsyn can say, only show this for, it's great for, especially with all the political ads that are coming our way, only display this to people in, you know, Columbus, Ohio, because it's for Senator, you know, Morton Schmifferdern, whoever, who wants to reelect himself. We can do that. I don't know that Captivate can do geo, you know, traffic kind of stuff. Have you ever?
That is correct. I have not seen geo targeting on Captivate. The other thing you do not get from Captivate that you will get from other dynamic content platforms, Libsyn, Megaphone, whatever, they do not sell your time for you. So you are responsible. Yeah. You are the only one who can do the legwork of finding advertisers, finding people who are willing to pay you for that spot. Now, back to what Dave was saying about the business model. I have seen the pricing for Libsyn. I have seen the pricing for Captivate. It really is an enterprise solution. That's all I will say. Captivate really is made more for, I mean, it can be used by, you know, professionals and high-end professionals. It will obviously begin to cost you more money the more shows you do. But
if
you're just starting off, it gives you high-end professional tools at a amateur price.
Yeah. I think the limit is 30,000. And I have, like, Captivate, I have the podcast rodeo show on there. The podcast review show is on there, and then a bunch of shows that are dead. And I don't even come anywhere close to the 30, because if you go above 30,000, I think your bill doubles from 20 to, I think, 50 even maybe. But yeah, that's 30,000 downloads. I'm like, you should be able to monetize that. And Daniel J. Lewis has a question. He says about your camera. You said you're using your iPhone as your webcam today. Front or back camera, any audio video sync problems? Are you using Camo or is this a macOS native tool?
It is the macOS native tool. I am using the back of the camera, so I can't see my screen. And yeah, for me, so you were saying earlier, right, you were having the problem where it was always asking to connect. I have a different problem where it never asked me to connect. However, if I run the cable out of the back of my phone into my computer, I have a MacBook Pro. It works great. It works smooth. I've been really happy with it. Credit to Stephen Robles over at Riverside, who I was interviewing him about his setup. And, you know, he was saying, oh, yeah, for new podcasts, I always tell him to use this. I was like, you know, maybe I should try that. I tried it the next episode, and I don't think I'm ever going back unless I invest in like a ZV-E10 or something like that.
I have the ZV-1 and the ZV-E10, and yet I still use the Elgato Facecam Pro. And this is a first world problem. I finally got the answer to this. If you want to use the Sony ZV-1 as a webcam, you have to get up, unplug it, turn it on, go through the menu, say, I want to use you as a webcam, then plug the cable in. And that to me is just too much of a hassle. And so I had someone, I said, how do you, and he's like, plug it in via HDMI and have that go into your computer and then find some way to use the USB to power it. And he goes, then you can just turn it on and you could just leave it on all the time. So we
did a setup. I'm actually working on one right now for someone. I prefer the ZV-10, but to your point, yes, the ZVs are better if you use the HDMI out into, say, a Blackmagic or there's a new one that just came out, competitor to that, that looks really nice. And instead of the USB, we got the dummy battery. So these are, they look like the battery, you put them in there, but they have a cable that plugs into the wall. That's a better solution than USB, just because it saves you a couple of ports. And then you could still do USB if you need it for your webcam or whatever.
I like that idea. I'm stealing that because I had the ZV-1 forever and used it a little bit. And then, you know, I have to buy it so I can change lenses until I saw that lenses were like $400 for some of that stuff. Maybe I won't do that. Jeff C says Ecamm just came out with 4.2 and now works in all Mac applications, FaceTime, Zoom, etc. So if you want to use their virtual stuff, and they have a cool feature where if you're trying to see what it's going to look like on a phone, you basically hit some keystrokes. And so you've got your 16:9 video and it will show you so you can make sure you're centered enough. There are a couple other cool things. Yeah, I'm a big Ecamm person. What say you, Matthew, when you've got, I know you mentioned Riverside, there's Squadcast, I think there's still a Zencaster. Let me see if I can, hold on, I got to click.
I'm just sharing my screen here for a half a second because people keep asking about the camera.
Yeah.
So when I plug my phone into my computer, I get this little prompt up here and it actually gives you different options for your camera for the iPhone to use. And so right now it has the portrait mode, which is kind of like, you know, making it a little bit fuzzier behind me. It also has something called center stage, which will center the camera on you at all times. So if you move around, it kind of follows you, which is trippy and too much. Studio light, if you want to improve the lighting. But I really like this portrait feature, which kind of makes it look like, you know, more of a depth of field, like a mirrorless camera. So just one thing to keep in mind. As far as your question, Dave, so now you should see in the upper right corner of my screen, it says Google Chrome. You've got my little picture here.
Yeah.
So when I plug it in, I get this little prompt, and this is part of the new OS from Mac. And so, yeah, I select my camera, you know, as the iPhone, and then it allows me to do, so portrait mode, if I take off portrait mode, you'll see the sign goes from fuzzy to clear. So I kind of like the fuzzy, also kind of hides the mess behind me a little bit. Center stage, which will kind of move the picture, right? If I move around, it's kind of like going to try and find me, but that gets annoying. Studio light, obviously change a little bit of the you know, features on there. And then you can do reactions where it's almost like your iPhone. If you type like, congrats, something will pop up. But
right.
I'm not going to do that right now. But so, yeah, to your question.
Actually, let's hold people in suspense and you can think about your answers. Because we're going to ask you about your favorite video tool, your favorite microphone, and your favorite hosting. But first, we need to say thank you to some awesome supporters. You can be an awesome supporter by going to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. Couple other things. Of course, this show is brought to you by theschoolofpodcasting.com, where you get courses, coaching, and community. Use the coupon code COACH when you sign up. And of course, that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Also, we mentioned PodPage earlier. Matthew's using it. So am I on Ask the Podcast Coach. And pretty much every podcast I have except the School of Podcasting, and that's probably going to change by the end of the year. If you want to check out PodPage, check out trypodpage.com. If you want to learn PodPage, check out learnpodpage.com. And we mentioned there's a new version of Ecamm out. If you want to check it out, askthepodcastcoach.com/Ecamm. And, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, Matthew is cool, but he's, you know, I miss my Jim Collison. You can go over to theaverageguy.tv and check out Home Gadget Geeks. And Matthew, I talked about it earlier. It's time for the Wheel of Names. So if you're watching the video right now, these are the people that are $20 supporters. People like, he's in the chat room, AskRalphPodcast.com, Indie Drop In, Live Well and Flourish, Ross Brand, all sorts of people. And so first, I always do this just to, you know, people always go, oh, it's fixed. It's fixed, Dave. I will hit shuffle. And then we will spin the wheel of names. Round and round it goes. And this week's featured awesome supporter is Ed Sullivan from SonicCupcake.com. If you're looking for an editor, you can find Ed over at SonicCupcake.com. Ed, thank you so much for being an awesome supporter. We really do deeply appreciate it. And again, you can, if I can go back to, where's my Ecamm? There we go. He is the featured supporter of the week. And if you are a person that like, look, has this show saved you time? Has it saved you money? Maybe saved you some headaches? Maybe it keeps you educated. I know earlier DR was asking about, hey, I'm a podcast consultant. Hey, did I just help you? Maybe you should be an awesome supporter by going to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome because we gave you some value. Think about giving it back. And with that, now we're dying to get the answers. We're going to dig inside the head of Matthew Passy and what are your favorites. So let's start off first. Let's start off with the video stuff, right? There's Squadcast, and there might be some I don't even know. There's Squadcast, Riverside. What am I missing?
Boomcaster.
You
know, there was one called Recordly, I think it was.
Yeah, there's. If you wait long enough, around. Yeah, there'll be a new one out very soon. So, do you
my go-to these days? I've liked Riverside since day one. I was a big Squadcast fan when they first started. They were just audio only. Big fans of the guys who created that platform. But when Riverside was the first one that did video, and I was quick to jump on that one so we could offer video editing services. What I've liked about Riverside lately is they have added so many amazing post-production features. It's basically like Descript now, where you can edit your show inside Riverside. You could do clip generation from Riverside, you know, just a lot of cool stuff where basically other than hosting, you can almost run your entire show out of that platform.
Wow.
So I've always been a big fan of them. What I will say, though, is when we were talking about remote recording platforms with clients, we had lots of clients who would struggle with Riverside, but Squadcast was no problem. We had others who struggled with Squadcast, but Riverside was no problem. So go ahead, find the one that works best for you and just use that. I do really like Riverside and the folks over there, too.
And do you have a favorite microphone?
I currently use an Electro Voice RE20. This microphone was gifted to me when I left the Wall Street Journal. Our engineer thought that the company was probably going to, you know, throw them out or they were going to get lost in the closet. So I'm very fortunate with this microphone. It is not a cheap microphone. If you're looking for something a little bit more affordable, I'm a big fan of the Samsung Q9U or the Samsung Q2U if you want to go a little bit less expensive. They have XLR USB connections. And unlike the MV7, which is comparable, I'd say, to the Q9U, there's no weird touchscreen controls on there, which I find led to some problems for people.
Yeah. A favorite media host?
Captivate.
Yeah. There you go.
They always coming out with great features. And again, you can run a big time show at a non-big time price. And we were talking about dynamic content insertion, so putting that audio in there. One of my favorite features ever is their dynamic show notes feature. So when you put an ad in your show, it will also attach copy to your show notes. And so when you change that ad, your show notes actually changes, which I just think is so brilliant and so powerful for people who are selling things and want their, you know, supporters and advertisers to be to get the most juice, the most bang for their buck out of it.
There you go. Well, Tiffany has been very patient and we appreciate you hanging around. She's got a couple of questions here. So first of all, I'm curious about ID3 tags. Doesn't matter. Not really. if there's a space between the words or not, if it's hashtags. Well, first things first, do ID3 tags matter? I would say at this point, no. Almost every app I can think of uses the stuff that's in your feed. The only one I know of is, and Dr. Vibe, we'll get to you in just a second. The only app I can think of is Overcast, and they use the ID3 tag image. They do not help you with SEO because it's inside the MP3. If you see any guru saying you need to add ID3 tags because it helps with SEO, run. Do not walk away from that person. Your thoughts?
ID3 tags mattered when you were listening to podcasts through like Microsoft Media Player because it was drawing all the information from there versus the podcast feed, and also certain car stereos. Like if you're using CarPlay or Android Play, it doesn't matter, but older cars, if you're pulling in your phone via USB cable, like it'll pull the title and information from ID3 tags. So sometimes you'll listen to a podcast and it'll be like, you know, ask_the_podcast_coach_final_tune.mp3. That's the only place it really matters. Otherwise, it's such a small thing. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. And then again, Dr. Vibe, you're after this next one. Tiffany's been very patient. Why pod page versus your landing page from your media host? Well, your media host, and they all have them, whether it's Captivate, Libsyn, Buzzsprout, they have what I call a great place to listen and follow the show. So if you want people to listen and follow the show, perfect. If you want them to join your email list, oops, we just lost some because some won't let you embed HTML or they make it janky. That is our favorite word, by the way, here on janky. And that's where you go, and that's where some people go Wix and Squarespace. The thing I love about PodPage is it's made for a podcast. So you can do the email list. You can go in on your website, and because I just realized on podcastconsultant.com, it still says I'm having a Valentine's Day special. It shows up, it's an episode footer. So if you're promoting a webinar or something, you could put that in the footer. And then like later today, I'm going to say we're having St. Patty's Day special. I can change that footer and it updates across the whole website. It ties in with some of the podcasting 2.0 stuff. It puts buttons on your website to subscribe. You can, if you're an SEO person, you can get the elite version and now you get basically what looks like Yoast SEO in your show. There we go. And who do we have there? Is that?
This is Maisie.
Maisie. Maisie's come to the show. And am I missing, what's your favorite PodPage feature? Do you got one?
You know, the thing that I really loved about PodPage was you were getting lots and lots of very cool podcasting features that you otherwise had to pay extra for. So things like pulling in your podcast reviews, leaving a voicemail, email signups. I thought that was all very cool. The other thing that I think makes PodPage really, really powerful and easy is when you publish your episode with your hosting company, you're done. You don't have to then go ahead and post it to your website. For me, WordPress was constantly requiring maintenance and checking and update plugins and, you know, more and more things you had to pay for, whereas PodPage, you're getting it all in one price. And one of the things that I loved most, and I'm sure there's very easy ways to do this, and Daniel J. Lewis is probably rolling his eyes at me as I say this, but I always enjoyed that when you published an episode on PodPage, like the URL, it created a very, you know, SEO-friendly dynamic URL based on the title. But more importantly, you had a pretty link. So for podcasting tech, if I wrote podcastingtech.com/23, it would automatically take me to episode 23 of my show, which was great because it meant I could pre-fill out my social media posts the night before and the links would, you know, I would be able to show people where the show is without having to try and figure out what that, like, you know, dynamic, you know, the dash episode dash with whatever. But more importantly, and maybe it's changed, but if you're wrong, right, let's say you did /24 and you're only up to 23, it wouldn't take you to an error page. It would just take you back to the home page. So you wouldn't look like an idiot.
Yeah, it's a big, another quick thing on ID3 tags. Craig says, maybe I should take ID3 tagging out of my workflow. That's one of the reasons why I use Hindenburg, because it adds the ID3 tags, including the chapters, into the MP3 file. If I know in Libsyn, there's a button at the bottom where it's like add ID3 tags. So if you haven't added them, you can. That's why I still do it, because I've been doing it that way forever. but, and it takes, I used to use, I think it was ID3. I forget the software I use. It takes like 10 seconds to add your ID3 tag. So I still do it just for that, you know, 0.002% app from 2011 that is still using ID3 tags, but it just realizes it's not really gonna do much for you. But we do have a third person popping in here, in theory. I pressed the button. Does Dave get to? Okay, so we've got, oh, now I've got to drag everybody over. All right, so Matthew is guest one, and Dr. Vibe is coming in. How are you, my friend?
Outstanding. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. What can we help you with?
And a pleasure to meet you, Matthew. This is a Lipson question for you, Dave. I emailed you, but I'll also ask it live. I was trying to upload my audio podcast to YouTube via RSS.
Okay.
And I got a really weird error message.
Okay.
That, go ahead.
Well, if you set up Lipson, if you go to settings, social, you, Lipson has been pushing your show, if you've set this up, since 2007-ish, whatever. So if you're doing that, you don't have to then submit your feed to YouTube because it's already there.
That was one of my favorite Lipson features, was the fact that you guys were pushing shows out to YouTube automatically before YouTube even had podcasts on the mind. It was such a powerful feature.
And you get your YouTube stats in Lipson. So if you're already using Lipson to push to YouTube, do not go and add your RSS feed to YouTube because it'll show up twice. What you need to do is go into YouTube where you've been pushing it, make a play, do the magic trick that YouTube does, make a playlist for those episodes, put them in a playlist, and then go, I dub thee a podcast. And presto, now your show will show up in YouTube Music because, you know, 0.000 whatever people are using YouTube Music. It is free. Why wouldn't you do it? So definitely put your show there. But the other thing you want to do, if you haven't done this yet in Lipson, log out of all things Google, calendar, Gmail, YouTube, log out, then go to youtube.com/verify. And it's going to ask you to verify your account. And then once you do that, you can push to YouTube. Because if you don't, anything over, I want to say 5 minutes, it might be 15 minutes, will get rejected. So when you verify your account, you can put up longer episodes.
Okay. Well, I hope I got all that. I'll have to probably watch a replay, but I also sent you an email with the attachments with the error message that I got.
And you sent that to me or support?
Yes, to you.
Do not send support questions to Dave. Here's why.
Okay.
We got a team of about 7 or 8 people. And when you submit it to support@lipson.com, you have a much better chance of getting that asked quicker because during 8 to 5, Dave doesn't really check email because he's got this thing called Lipson doing.
Okay.
And so I appreciate that you sent it to me and that you trust me, but I'll take a look at it. But I'm just letting you know, if you're looking for a Lipson answer, A, never ask Facebook, and B, support at Lipson.com. Anything else that we can help you with?
No, that's it. I know you're right at the tail end of the show, so I appreciate you fitting me in and always the stuff that you and your regular co-host do.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks. And definitely, if you're not on, you know, YouTube with your podcast and your host or whoever can put you there, it's free. It takes, 4 minutes to set up. And
you have to verify your account and a few other annoying features. So it might take a day or two to get it going.
But from there, you know, the number two search engine is YouTube. And I'm like, great. And I have had people not from that, because I have a channel, which was weird because I couldn't find, I went into YouTube Music and typed in School of Podcasting, because that's what I call the playlist that is a, in quotation marks, podcast in YouTube Music, and it didn't find any of my podcasts. I finally had to search for it was weird because it's a Google product and I was having a problem finding my show. And I'm like, you guys are supposed to be the search experts. And I finally found it, but it took a while for it to show up. So yeah, it's just the thing that just drives me nuts. And I'll also scream, get off my lawn, is the fact that a YouTube channel technically is not a podcast. Here's my favorite thing. Steve Goldstein was one of the guys at Podcast Movement saying, you need to be on YouTube. That's podcasting and YouTube. It's the same thing. Everybody go over there and everybody wet their pants, ran, cried, screamed, and said, how do I get my show on YouTube? And on his Amplify Media website, his latest blog post is mentioning how shows are not growing as fast as people want on YouTube. And I was like, but everybody is supposed to be on YouTube. So I thought that was kind of fun. The last thing as we wrap up the door, congratulations to the one and only Rich Graham. Last week I was doing a test with Gleam, and Gleam is this tool for running contests. And I said, hey, I'm doing this test where we'll give away 30 minutes of consulting. So there was one entry, and that was Rich Graham. So Rich, congratulations. I did still go through the thing where it said pick a random winner, and out of the pool of one, Rich won. So, and I would play the David Lee Roth sound effect, but you know, when you add so many sound effects to your Rodecaster, I could play the air horn, I guess. There we go. Congratulations, Rich. I will be emailing you a link for that. Can you screen share on where that prompt field is in Libsyn? Navigation-wide, where is that in Libsyn? Oh, the ID3 tag thingy? Very bottom of the screen. When you go into an episode, it is, I mean, at the very, very bottom of a screen. I'll screenshot here in a second. So if I go to new.
It's a old school Libsyn. It used to be under add destinations.
Yeah, I guess my question, DR, is that for ID3 tags or for YouTube? So here I'm in an episode. So there's where you add your media. There's your author. There's your this and that. And also here, episode artwork, wide episode artwork, if you are sending to YouTube. Here's your transcript thingy. And then down here, update ID3 tags, very bottom of
this. That's another feature I always loved about Libsyn was that update ID3 tags. Because right when it mattered, it was nice that you didn't have to do it twice. You could just check that button and it worked.
And then the other thing while I'm sharing my screen, in Libsyn now, after it's published, it used to take you to a screen where you had quick links. And now when you publish, you have this embed button in the upper left-hand corner. And you've got your get the embed player, share on social, download the file, or quick links, which looks a lot like the old screen that you had. So it's just under a little drop down just to keep this screen a little simpler here. So that is that. But thanks for the question. Matthew, again, what's coming up on podcastingtech.com?
So we do two different types of episodes. One are company spotlight. So we talk to folks who are providing services and interesting things to help podcasters. And if you know of anybody, please send them my way. The other thing we're doing is like the crib style tours of people's studio, talking about what their tech stack is, talking about what their studio looks like. We're obviously not going in person yet with a big crew, but if you have a suite set up and you want to show it off or talk about it, and we'll obviously promote your show while we're doing it, happy to have you come on. Coming up shortly, Nate from the Sobriety Diaries and his co-host Podcast Unplugged, I think it's called, Brooke, they're coming on in a couple of weeks with their studio tours. We have Charlie Burney from Podcast Village down in DC talking about his incredible studios, not just his personal ones, but public studios that are available for folks to use.
Nice.
And Kendall from Riverside will be on talking about their platform and all the cool new features that they've been introducing lately. So stay tuned for those.
Yeah, I need to go. We talked about this earlier. I need to go back and check out Riverside. How after a while you're like, I wasn't really a fan of this or that. And I'm like, you kind of need to go back every now and then and recheck. Just to answer DR's question here, the YouTube thing she was looking for is under settings and then under social. And you'll see where there's SoundCloud, Twitter, LinkedIn, and then YouTube. And you could have more than one if you want. So it's under settings and then social for that. On the School of Podcasting, this week, I already mentioned it, Ralph from AskRalphPodcast.com, we're going to be talking taxes, but I'm also going to be talking about some things I did with the School of Podcasting that made it more profitable and how to keep it simple. We're going to have tools to, if you want to run your business, there are other things besides QuickBooks and things like that. So it's kind of a monetization somewhat focused, but also like Ralph talked about the fact that, you know, he's a member of the School of Podcasting and he's giving me money every month and that's tax deductible. And I was like, well, there you go. If you needed a reason to join the School of Podcasting, It'll help you on your taxes and grow your show. So why not? So that's coming up on theschoolofpodcasting.com. Thanks to Mark again at podcastbranding.co and Dan on basedonatruestorypodcast.com. And we will be here next week. As far as I know, Jim will be back next week unless he was killed on a spy mission. You know, it is dangerous for him, but he should be back. And Matthew again, podcastingtech.com. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
It was my pleasure. Good to see you. Good to chat with everybody. And, you know, can't wait to talk again soon.
Yeah. Are you?
Say goodbye, Daisy.
Yeah, she's. It's funny because from this angle, it's looking like she's, you know, getting ready to lean into the mic and, you know, issue her famous, you know, catchphrase or something like that. So,
yeah, start barking.
That's it. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, and ring the bell if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, then go to askthepodcastcoach.com/follow, and you'll get the episodes as soon as they are available. So thanks so much again. We will see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.